Welcome everybody. This is the seventh lecture in our course on women in Indian Buddhism, organized by the Numata Center of Buddhist Studies and the Women in Buddhism Study Initiative, both at the University of Hamburg. And it is my great pleasure today to welcome Shubha Ranidas, who is going to speak to us today on the topic of Mahapajapati Gotami narratives. Shubha Ranidas obtained her MA and MPhil degree from the Department of Buddhist Studies, Delhi University, in 1993 and 1995, respectively. She then received the Munbosho Fellowship. This is a Japan government scholarship offered by the Ministry of Education, Culture and Science, from 1996 April to 2003 March, and continued further study in Japan. There she received a doctorate degree in 2004 from the Department of Buddhist Studies, Otani University, Kyoto. Her present position is as an associate professor at the Department of Intercultural Studies of Otani University. Her fields of interest are women and Buddhism, palm leaf manuscript research, Indian classical dance. At present, she's working on a critical edition of the Tsushima Bayo, a palm leaf manuscript of the Mahabharata in medieval Odia language kept in Japan. So much for introduction, and now I hand over to Shubha Ranidas.
Hello everybody, namaste, and good evening, good morning. Now it is going to be 9:20 here at night. So I'm Shubha Ranidas from Otani University, Kyoto, and today I'm very happy to share something with you this evening, and I'm very thankful to Bhante Analayo for giving me the chance to be connected with you from this distant land. And as all of us we know, Mahaprajapati is a very important figure, as she was the first bhikkhuni as well as the founding member of the bhikkhuni sangha, and we know very well about her role and significance regarding the formation of the bhikkhuni sangha. A number of narratives tell about the different roles efficiently played by her, that is, an ideal mother, a dutiful wife, a devout lay follower, and a sincere bhikkhuni. And of course, a very important and sincere leader also of the bhikkhuni sangha. And Venerable Analayo has already published a number of articles on Mahapajapati and the bhikkhuni sangha. You may refer them for further study. And today I'm going to share some of the narratives on Mahapajapati, particularly her role as a mother, or how she is described in Buddhist scriptures as a mother, and her relationship with Shakyamuni Buddha, and before he became the Buddha, when he was the Siddhartha Gautama, he was at home as Siddhartha Gautama, and after his enlightenment, and as we know as the Buddha, so, and after Mahapajapati became a bhikkhuni also, how was her relationship, and how Buddha treated her, and how she treated him, etc. And today I'm going to introduce Mahapajapati as a mother because personally it appeals me a lot. Came to know about all these narratives, I literally cried. I could not control myself. And so I will introduce Mahapajapati Gotami, sharing some narratives with you from Pali and Chinese sources. So first, let's have a look at her names, in which names she is known as in the Pali text and Chinese text. So in Pali, she is Mahapadapati Gautami, and in Sanskrit, she is Mahaprajapati Gautami. Most of you, as you know, very well. And then in Chinese and Japanese, this character is used. And in Japanese, she is called, for the same character, they read it at Makahajahadai. And for Chinese, my pronunciation of Chinese is very bad. Just to tell you that it is Muhe Boshe Bodhi, so Mahaprajapati, based on the sound. And a number of other names are based on the sound and literal rendering of the Pali or Sanskrit name. And for example, names based on the sound, that is Gudommi or Chutammi, you can say in Chinese and Japanese. And for this literal rendering, direct translation, like Dai Sheshu in Japanese and Dai Sisu in Chinese, that is for Mahaprajapati only. Maha and then Praja and Pati. So, very direct translation of the term. And it is very important to know the different names is mentioned, because sometimes when we try to find out some information about a particular person or a figure in the literary, in the Buddhist text, we don't know how we should search for that, or how we should search for that person. And sometimes we don't know that this is the same person and we just skip it. It happens very often. So it is very important to know the different names she's mentioned, so that it will be easier for somebody, for you to search for the materials related to her. And to know about her different names, you may refer to my book. I have given a list of her names in my book. This is Mahaprajapati Gautami. And maybe you can refer Dictionary of Buddhist Proper Names by Akanuma Chizen. It's a very famous dictionary. So you can use that also. And there are a number of names of Mahaprajapati or Gautami, or Mahaprajapati Gautami, both we find. And when you know that, then it will be easier for you to get the details of her from different texts. So now I would like to give you a very short introduction of her Mahaprajapati Gautami's family relations, her birth and marriage. And to be very precise, we have a number of sources. Actually, the texts, they tell in a different way. Most of the texts, they vary to each other. And parents' names are also different. You can see the examples. I have given a table in the table. So you can see a table later where there I have given the text name and the details of the her family relations, etc. But the sources, as the sources vary, I am just going to summarize that. And the parents' names not conclusive. And she was the sister of Maya, or strictly or Mahamaya, strictly speaking, the younger sister. And place of birth was Devadaha. Both the sisters, Maya and Mahaprajapati, they married to King Suddhodana of Kapilavastu and became the mother and maternal aunt of Sakyamuni Buddha, respectively. And sorry, I tried to put that in a different way. I could not do that. I'm very bad in these technical things. But later when you download this PowerPoint, this table, you can see that table by yourself. And like here, the texts are in the left side, Theriya Padana, Theriya Thakatha, Manoratha Purani, Papancha Sudani, etc. And some Chinese texts also at the end. And then father's name, Anjana Sakka and Mahasupa Buddha and Anjana, Anjana only and Subhuti at some places like that. And then mother's name Sulakhana, Yasodhara and Koliya Kanya and Lumbini, etc. So in this way her brother's name, sister's name and husband's name. Husband's name is always Suddhodana we find. We don't find any other name. At least I have not found yet any other name. And then her name, she's called, sometimes she's mentioned as Gautami, sometimes Mahapajapati Gautami, sometimes only Pajapati, and sometimes as Maya also in some of the Chinese sources. So it is very confusing sometimes whether that is the Maya, the biological mother of the Buddha as we know, or it is for Mahapajapati. But when you read the story, the narratives, it is well convinced that it is about Mahapajapati only from the context. And then her place of birth, it is mostly of Devadaha, always it is Devadaha. So, so now I would like to introduce her as the mother of Sakyamuni. And first, she is described as the nursing mother of Siddhartha Gautama. So, I have given a small summary, a very short summary of what I am going to speak in this slide. And the texts you can get in a number of texts about her stories, narratives in Therivada Arthakatha and in Dhammapada Arthakatha, Anguttaranikaya Arthakatha and Dighanikaya, etc. So the narrative says us, the texts tell us that after the birth, the soothsayers predicted that the son of both Mahamaya and Mahapajapati will become a universal monarch. And both the sisters attained a marriageable age and married to King Suddhodana. Mahamaya gave birth to Siddhartha Gautama and Mahapajapati had a son and a daughter called Nanda and Nanda respectively. Nanda is also known as Rupananda or Sundari Nanda, whereas Nanda is also known as Sundarananda and in the Chinese texts. 7 days after the birth of Siddhartha Gautama, Queen Mahamaya passed away. And after that, Mahapajapati became his nursing mother and raised him with much care, feeding her milk. So, and at that time, she had her own son, Mahapajapati had her own son, Nanda, who was born just 2 or 3 days after Siddhartha. Younger, he was only 2 or 3 days younger to Prince Siddhartha. But we are told that she gave her own son, Nanda, to a wet nurse and herself took care of the young Prince Siddhartha. So in Madhyama Nikaya Arthakatha and particularly in Dakshina Vibhanga Sutta Varnana, you can find all this information. So next, I would like to introduce her as the mother of the Bodhisattva, our Sakyamuni Buddha, in his past lives. So she is depicted twice in the Jataka stories as the mother of the Buddha. I mean, not the foster mother, but the real, the biological mother who gave birth to him. It is Jataka number 222, the Chulanandya Jataka. Here she is depicted as a mother monkey. And then in Jataka number 358, in Chulla Dhammapala Jataka, where she is depicted as Queen Chanda. So this is very, these two Jatakas always they fascinated me. We find it, both the Jatakas in a very contrasting. In the first one, in Chulanandya Jataka, the Sakyamuni as the monkey son, how he is trying and how he is giving his own life for the sake of his mother. And in the other Chulla Dhammapala Jataka, Queen Chanda, that is our Mahaprajapati, and she is so engrossed with grief after the death of her own son that she could not live, and she passed away immediately on the spot. So, because we are not using here in English anymore for now for more than 20 years, and please forgive me for my very bad English. And both these Jataka stories, they go a step further and depict Mahaprajapati as the natural mother of Sakyamuni Buddha in his previous birth as a Bodhisattva. So, here I give you a very short depiction of this Jataka stories, what they speak, how they describe Mahaprajapati and Sakyamuni Buddha. First, let's see this Chulanandya Jataka. In Chulanandya Jataka, Mahaprajapati appears as a mother monkey, and in brief, the story runs runs like this. That when Brahmadatta was the king of Varanasi, Mahaprajapati was reborn as a blind female monkey and became the mother of two monkeys called Nandiya and Chullanandiya. The big Nandiya and the happy one, and the small Nandiya, the smaller one, the younger one. And Nandiya, the elder brother, was the Bodhisattva, one of the past existences of our Sakyamuni Buddha. And Chullanandya, the younger brother, was nobody else but our Venerable Ananda. He is always very close to the Buddha. So these two brothers were the heads of a herd of 80,000 monkeys. And as the mother monkey, that is Mahaprajapati, was blind and was unable to collect food for her, so both the sons used to collect fruits for her from the forest and sent through a messenger. But the messenger monkey did not give those fruits to her. So she became very weak, not getting proper food. When the brothers came to know about it, they decided to abandon their herd and brought their mother down from the Himalaya and took care of her living on a banyan tree. Now at that time, Devadatta took birth as a Brahmin of very cruel nature. He finished his study in Takshila under a famous teacher called Parasarya, who was Venerable Sariputra, and went to Varanasi to live there. Although he was a learned Brahmin, but as he could not become successful in earning his livelihood because of his cruel nature, he decided to take bow and arrow. That means he became a hunter. Thus, although he was a Brahmin, he lived on hunting and selling the flesh of animals. One day, the Brahmin hunter, that is Devadatta, he did not get any animal to hunt. When he was returning empty-handed, he saw the monkey family on the banyan tree. Seeing the hunter, both the monkey brothers hid themselves, thinking that the hunter would harm their weak and aged mother. But as the mother was a cruel one and but as the hunter was a cruel one and had no animal for that day, he lifted up his bow to shoot her. Nandiya, the elder son, that is our Bodhisattva, told his brother to take care of the mother and offered himself to the hunter. He requested the hunter to kill him and spare his mother's life. The hunter killed him but did not keep his promise. When the younger son Chullanandiya saw him shooting the arrow towards his mother, he too came out from the hiding place and offered himself to the hunter like his elder brother and requested the hunter to leave his mother. But the hunter killed him first and then his mother too. Then the hunter, that is Devadatta, took all the three dead bodies and went towards his home. On the way, he met a man from his village and was told that when he killed the virtuous monkey family mercilessly, at that time a thunderbolt fell upon his home and his entire family died suddenly. Having heard this news, he lost his sanity and ran to his home. As he entered the house, a bamboo off the roof fell upon his head and pierced it. Just at that time, the earth opened her mouth and flames rose up from the Abhiji hell. He was saluted by the earth and took birth in the Abhiji hell. So here we see how Siddhartha, as the Bodhisattva, he was taking care of his mother and he was serving, doing his the most venerable duty for his mother as the son. And now we see, let's see how Chula Dhammapala Jataka tells the stories. It goes like this, that Queen Chanda of the Chula Dhammapala Jataka is nobody else but Mahaprajapati. This Jataka narrates a merciless and cruel story that goes like this. Once upon a time, Devadatta took birth as King Mahapatapa in Varanasi. Mahapatapati was reborn as Chanda and became his queen, chief queen. The Lord, that is our Bodhisattva, was born as their son called Prince Dhammapala. One day, Chanda, Mahaprajapati, was playing with the 7-month-old Prince Dhammapala. At that time, the king arrived there. But Chanda was so much engrossed with her baby son that she could not notice the king's presence and so did not pay him respect. This made the king furious. He thought that if the queen can disrespect him just because of the son of only 7 months old, then she would do more rough behavior in future, disrespect him more in future when the prince would grow up. Thinking so, he decided to kill the baby prince, his own son. King Mahapatapa ordered the executioner to bring the little prince from the queen's chamber. As the king left her place, with anger, Queen Chanda anticipated something bad and cried, putting the prince on her lap. But the cruel executioner snatched the prince from her and took him to the king's presence. The queen followed him. The king ordered to lay the prince on a board before him and asked to cut off his hands. Chanda cried and offered her hands instead, but the king did not listen to her. Both the hands of the young prince were cut off. The queen collected his cut hands and lamented. Next, the king ordered to cut off both the feet of the baby. The helpless mother collected collected both the blood-stained feet in her lap and pleaded the king to spare the young prince's life while lamenting. But the king asked her further to cut off the king asked the executioner further to cut off the head of the prince. As soon as Tanda heard it, she offered her own head for it. But the king did not pay any heed, and thus the prince was dedicated to the king's anger. The merciless king did not stop here. He ordered the executioner to put the headless body of the prince on the tip of his sword and whirl it like a garland. The executioner followed the order. He threw the dead body up and cut it on the tip of the sword and whirled him like a garland. The body moved round and the small body of the prince fell down into small pieces. The unfortunate mother had to see all this cruelty before her eyes and collected the small pieces of flesh of her baby while lamenting. Chanda could not bear the grief and her heart broke as bamboo of a burning bamboo group breaks suddenly with crackling sound, and she died instantly. Then suddenly the king fell down from his throne. The earth was split into two and the king fell inside it. Fire rose up from Abhiji's hell and wrapped him. The ministers performed the funeral ceremony of Queen Chanda and the prince Dhammapala only, not of the king. So in this Jataka, Mahaprajapati has been portrayed as a loving mother who offered her own life to save her son and at last died as she could not the death of her son. And in the Kinabibhanga Sutta also we can see how she is queen. She was still a queen, but how she is making a robe in her own hands and carrying them on her head and going bare feet to the Buddha's monastery to offer him. So that also depicts her mother's heart for her own son. And so Dakshinagupta Sutta, I'm going to skip that. And here I'm going to tell something about the last moments of Mahaprajapati's life. And in these narratives of her passing away, here we can see the mother-son relationship very clearly in the text, how the commentators and the authors of this text, they tried to describe, portray these two figures. So first the Pali source. As I told you in the beginning that I'm going to say about the Pali source and from the Chinese source both. So this episode depicting the last moments of the life of Mahaprajapati Gotami is of immense interest, not only from Buddhist viewpoints but from various other perspectives. A few Buddhist texts described it beautifully. In Pali, from the Pali tradition, the Theriya Padana is probably the only text in Pali that gives a very detailed description of the last moments in Mahaprajapati's life. And the Therivatha Attakatha repeats the same in the chapter dealing with the story of Mahaprajapati. So here you can follow the sources I have given. And in the Chinese sources, this T is for Thai Sutra Pitaka, numbers are there. The Chinese sources, however, contain a few texts that sketch this episode elaborately. Those are the I have given some reconstructed some Sanskrit names for that, like for this Thai, Thao Phan, Nguyen Sinh, Mahaprajapati Parinirvana Sutra, and then Kalpana Mandipika, and then Ekuttaragama, and then Buddha Mata Parinirvana Sutra, and the Abhinakshidra Kavastu of Mulla Sarvastivana Abhinaya. I have given them chronologically. And in most of the texts, the flow of narration of the episode is like this. Just for your reference, I would like to give you some information. Thai Sutra Tripitaka volume 2nd number 144, this text called the Mahaprajapati Parinirvana Sutra. So here, it is written sometime in between 290 to 316 AD, and then the next text is Kalpana Manditika, that is translated by Kumara Jiva, and around 401 AD, and then we see Ekottaragama, so it is translated by Gautama Sanghadeva in 397. And then Buddha Mata Parinirvana Sutra, it is sometime after 457, we don't know the date. And the next one is the Vinayakshitra Kavastu, so it is around 8th century AD. Most probably around 710. So this is just for your information. So all these texts, they are from 4th century to in between 4th century to 8th century AD roughly. So as you can see now in the slide, how this most of the sources they tell about the last moments of Mahaprajapati is that Mahaprajapati decides to die willingly before the Buddha pass away, and after obtaining his permission, she shows her supernormal powers and went through different stages of meditation and entered into Nibbana. And then the 500 bhikkhunis who became bhikkhunis, who renounced the household with her, so they said that because we have renounced the household with you, so now we also want to live this life, this world with you only. And they accompanying her, they entered into Nirvana in the same process and in the same time as Mahaprajapati. And then they were, all these 500 bhikkhunis along with Mahaprajapati, they were cremated in the presence of the Lord Buddha himself, along with eminent Buddha's eminent disciples, bhikkhus, and gods, naga, asuras, kinnaras, yakshas, etc. So the Pali source gives two reasons. We find little difference in the Pali sources and the Chinese sources. In the Pali sources, she decided to enter into Nibbana, being not capable to see or stand the final passing of the Lord himself and his disciples, most of whom were her own family members. And second reason is that she wished to enter into the Nibbana before any split occurred in the Sangha. And the Chinese sources, they say that she wished to die willingly before the Buddha because she can't tolerate to see the Buddha passing away before her. So, let's see in detail how this Pali sources and the Chinese sources, they describe this episode. So first let's see about the Pali sources, and let's see how Pali source it narrates the episode. It says that once when the Buddha was in the Mahavana of Vaishali, Mahapajapati was residing there with 500 bhikkhunis. One day she thought that she could not be able to see the final passing of the Lord. His two chief disciples, that is Venerable Sariputta and Mahamoggallana, family members of her lay life, Venerable Ananda, Venerable Rahula and Nanda, Venerable Nanda. So she decided to enter into Nibbana before their demise with due permission of the Buddha. But later in the text, we find her explaining to Venerable Ananda another reason for choosing the path of Nibbana voluntarily. It says, once the Lord sneezed while preaching the Dhamma and Mahapajapati blessed him out of compassion to live long without old age, even for an iron. So this is a common practice in India, I think in some other countries also. When somebody sneezes, then they say, like I am from Odisha, and in Odisha we say, be an old person. That means may you live until you attain your old age. That means may you have a long life. So it seems even in Buddha's time that custom was still there. But the Buddha exhorted her not to wish so, as that was not the right way to pay homage to the Buddhas. Rather, she should wish that the disciples of the Buddha should live in harmony, always striving diligently. Hearing it, Mahapajapati thought that as the Buddha was pleased with a united assembly, she should enter into Nibbana before any misfortune fell, that is, before any split occurred in the Sangha. The 500 bhikkhunis also reflected in the same way. As soon as Mahapajapati and the 500 bhikkhunis took such a decision, there was an earthquake and the drums of the gods Devadundubi, it roared, the goddesses or maybe the deities residing in the Bhikkhuni monastery wailed with grief and shed tears. The 500 bhikkhunis went to Mahapajapati's residence, paid obeisance at her feet and asked, O noble lady, we were sprinkled with tears when we were alone, away from you. The earth trembled along with mountains. The drums of the gods made thundering sounds. Mournful crying was heard. O Gautami, what does it mean? Gautami told them about her decision and they too told her as they thought. They said, O noble lady, if you like to enter into the Nibbana, then we all will enter into Nibbana too, obtaining the Buddha's permission. We all renounce the household and the world as well together. And now we will go to the abode of Nibbana also together. Mahapajapati paid her last regards to the goddesses dwelling there, and all of them left the Bhikkhuni monastery and went to the Buddha. The goddesses lamented as they would not be able to see them again. When Mahapajapati was going on the road with her fellow bhikkhunis to the residence of the Buddha, the women lay followers came out of their houses, fell down at their feet, and lamenting with grief, they requested her not to enter into Nirvana, abandoning them. Mahaprajapati consoled them with sweet words and advised them to become the true daughters of the Buddha by following his teachings. So here also we can see how she was loved by the lay followers, not only by the Bhikkhuni Sangha or the members of the Sangha, but by the lay followers as well. Then she arrived at the Buddha's place and said, "O Sugata, I am your mother, but you are my father, the giver of the happiness of two doctrines, Sabdhamma. I am born from you. I raised your physical body, but you raised my flawless body of doctrine, my Dhammatama. I fed you my milk to quench your thirst for a short time, but I drank the milk of doctrine, Dhammakheera, from you to quench my thirst forever. May the women who wish to have a child obtain a son like you. O son, even the mothers of great kings like Mandhata sank into the ocean of continuous existences of samsara, but I could cross the ocean of existences because of you. Women may be called as queen or mother of queen easily, but it is very difficult to obtain the name mother of the Buddha, Buddha Mata. I obtained that name through you. Now I have fulfilled all my aspirations. O ender of suffering, please allow me now to enter into Nirvana, abandoning this material body. Please stretch your lotus-like feet marked with quill, hook and banner to offer my last worship. Please show me your body glowing like a heap of gold before I go to the abode of Nirvana." The Lord showed his body marked with 32 auspicious marks. She prostrated at his feet and said, "As it will be my last death, that means my last existence, I cannot see you anymore. It is said that women are full of flaws. O compassionate one, if I have done any mistake, please forgive me. I begged you repeatedly for the going forth of women. May you forgive me if that was a mistake. I instructed the bhikkhunis getting permission from you. If I have taught them anything bad, may you forgive me for that." Then she announced her decision to the Bhikkhu Sangha, paid obeisance to Venerable Rahula, Venerable Ananda and Venerable Nanda, and asked for their permission to enter into Nirvana. Venerable Nanda and Rahula could understand that everything is impermanent, as they were already emancipated beings, free from defilements. But Venerable Ananda was still not free from attachments. So he started crying and lamented that as the fire does not exist without fuel, likewise the Buddha would enter into the Nirvana soon after Mahaprajapati. So this was Venerable Ananda's his announcement. Somehow he could realize better things, his prediction we can say. So then Mahaprajapati consoled Ananda too and paid gratitude to him as he entreated the Buddha to allow the women to go forth. The Lord asked her to show the supernatural powers in the for those fool persons who were still doubtful that women could comprehend the doctrine. So here this portion is very interesting to understand women and Buddhism, I think. So here there were some foolish people who had some doubt about the ability of women to comprehend the doctrine. But the Buddha himself, he was not thinking like that. He didn't have that kind of idea about women, it seems, at least from this sentence. And she begged permission from the Buddha and eminent bhikkhus, and with the permission of the Lord, performed many miracles. So shortly, Venerable Anales, one of his articles is coming. So there he has described about the supernatural powers of the nuns. So please go through that for further details. And here she is showing a number of miracles, her supernatural powers, like she flew up to the sky and then showered her supernatural powers to the assembly of bhikkhus and bhikkhunis, and from one she became many, and from many she became one again, and she appeared sometimes, then she disappeared sometimes, and she walked through the walls and the sky, and she sank down into the earth and walked on water as if walking on the ground, and etc., etc. The long description of this miraculous power she performed. So I'm going to skip this portion. Then and when she finished showing her supernatural powers, she came down from the sky and paid homage to the Buddha. The assembly of bhikkhus and bhikkhunis present there were astonished and asked her how she possessed such excellent power. Mahaprajapati explained them how she was devoted to the Buddha and his doctrines and acquired great merits thereby in her previous and present existences that enabled her to possess such natural, supernatural powers. So one's devotion to the Buddha and the Dhamma, and thereby acquiring great merits, one can possess such supernatural powers, it seems. Then the 500 bhikkhunis also went up to the sky, met together and shone there like stars with their supernatural powers. They too showed many supernatural powers very skillfully, came down, prayed the Buddha and asked for his permission to enter into Nibbana. Obtaining the Lord's approval, they went back to their monastery. The Buddha went here. We must note one sentence that it appears in the text that the Buddha went himself with a big crowd of people to see her off till the gate of the monastery. Even if Buddha was the chief of the Bhikkhu Sangha and the Bhikkhuni Sangha, still he is going up to the gate himself to see off his see of Mahaprajapati, or we can say to see of his mother. And Mahaprajapati fell down at the feet of the Buddha once more with her fellow bhikkhunis and said, "This is my last moment that I see the Lord of the world. I will not see your nectar-like face again. I cannot touch and pay homage at your soft feet anymore, as I will go to the abode of tranquility today." Then she returned to her monastery and sat down in a half cross-legged position. Women lay followers came to know about her decision and all rushed to her residence. There they were crying miserably, beating their chests with their hands, and fell down on the earth like a creeper that is cut off at its root while lamenting. They all requested Mahaprajapati not to enter into Nibbana, leaving them alone. She consoled those women, lay disciples, and taught them that everything is impermanent, produced by a cause, unsteady and ends in separation. So it is very interesting to note this portion. She is understanding that everything is impermanent, everything is produced by a cause, and everything ends in separation. But the commentators, the commentary writers, they have mentioned it in this Buddhist text that she cannot see the separation of the Buddha from her. So that is why she wants to enter into the Nibbana. She wants to pass away voluntarily. So this is very interesting. Then she went through the four stages of meditation, and one after another, and in the reverse stage again, one after another, and from there she entered into the state of Nibbana. After her, the 500 bhikkhunis also entered into the Nibbana. As soon as she is As soon as it happened, there was a great earthquake, lightning fell from the sky, drums rolled, and the gods wailed. There was a shower of flowers from the sky. Mount Meru shook like a dancer on the stage, and the ocean wept with grief. The gods, Nagas, Asuras, and even Brahma all lamented and said, "Alas, attachment ends in separation. All the conditioned things are impermanent, and life ends up in death." Then Lord Brahma approached the Buddha with other deities to act according to the practice of the time. So let's see what was the practice of the time. So by the order of the Buddha, Venerable Ananda announced Mahaprajapati's death to all in tearful eyes, and many eminent bhikkhus came to pay their last homage to the mother of the Buddha from all the four directions. So here we must notice this term, that these eminent bhikkhus came to pay their last homage to the mother of the Buddha. So she is not mentioned here as the foster mother of the Buddha. It is always simply the mother of the Buddha. They placed the bed where Mahaprajapati lay inside a gabled hut made of gold. The four guardian deities of the world, that is Kubera or Vaishnavana, Dhatarashtra, Dhritarashtra, and Virupaksha and Virulaka, carried that bed, the bier, on their shoulders. And that is the Indian way of carrying the dead bodies. And the remaining gods, along with Lord Indra, gathered in the gabled hut. Lord Vishwakarma, that is Vishwakarma, made 500 brilliant gabled huts, shining like the autumn sun for the 500 bhikkhunis too. Not only Mahaprajapati, but these 500 bhikkhunis, her followers, they were also given a very honorable farewell. The gods carried the biers of the bhikkhunis on their shoulders and proceeded in due order. The sky was entirely covered by the canopy, decorated with golden sun, moon and stars. Flags were raised and coverings of flowers were spread out. Lotuses hang down from the sky as flowers bloom from the earth. The sun, moon and the stars were shining together. Although it was midday, the rays of the sun were as cool as of the moon. The gods worshipped these great women with heavenly perfume, garland, song, music, and dance. The Nagas, Asuras and Brahmas worshipped the mother of the Buddha as she was taken out according to the best of their power and means. The 500 bhikkhunis were carried out first, and Mahaprajapati was taken out after them. In front of Mahaprajapati and the 500 bhikkhunis, there were gods, men, Nagas, Asuras and Brahmas. While the Buddha was behind them with his disciples to pay the last homage to his mother. So this is a normal way of, a very common scene of funeral procession you can see in India or maybe in South Asian countries also, I think. And that the son, that is the Buddha, is going behind his mother's bier, dead body. And here also we find the narration that the Buddha was behind them with his disciples to pay the last homage to his mother. The theory of Adana vividly describes the scenes of last moments and states that the funeral ceremony of Mahaprajapati's Parinibbana was much more marvelous than the Mahaparinibbana of the Buddha. The Buddha did not make the bhikkhus ready at the time of his own Nibbana, but he did it with Venerable Sariputta, etc. during Mahaprajapati's Nibbana. They prepared a funeral pyre with all kinds of fragrant wood, sprinkled scented powder on it, and cremated Mahaprajapati and the 500 bhikkhunis there. Asked by the Buddha, Venerable Ananda collected the bones on a bowl and gave them to him. Venerable Ananda prophesied here the demise of Mahaprajapati as an indication of the Buddha's Mahaparinibbana. So this is in short how the Pali sources depict Mahaprajapati's final passing and her Parinibbana, and through that episode how she is depicted as the mother of the Buddha and how she is given respect by the gods and by the Bhikkhu Sangha and as the mother of the Buddha. And not only that, the Buddha himself is doing his duty like a son and showing his respect to his mother. Let's see the Chinese sources. And in the Chinese sources, I have given you four or five texts. They are that are dealing with the narratives of Mahaprajapati. Let me first discuss about the narratives in Ekottaragama. And actually, in Ekottaragama, we find a detailed story than from other texts. So among all the texts, the Ekottaragama describes the episode very minutely, and to start with, it does not agree with the reason of the theory of Adana, that is the Lord's sneezing incident, and gives the following reason. So the reason goes like this. Once the Buddha was in Vaishali with 500 bhikkhus, and Mahaprajapati was at the gabled hall in Vaishali with 500 arahant bhikkhunis. At that time, Mahaprajapati heard the bhikkhus saying that the Tathagata would surely attain Mahaparinibbana soon, within 3 months, lying between two salar trees at Kushinagara. Having heard it, Mahaprajapati thought, I cannot bear to see the Tathagata entering into Nibbana. I cannot bear it too to see Venerable Ananda entering into Nibbana. So it is appropriate that I should enter into Nibbana before then. Then she went to the Walnut One, paid obeisance at his feet and said, I heard that the Walnut One would surely attain Mahaparinibbana very shortly, within 3 months, lying between two sala trees at Kushinagara. I cannot bear to see the Walnut One as well as Venerable Ananda entering into Nibbana. O Walnut One, I have a request. Please allow me to enter into Nibbana before you. The Lord granted his permission, remaining silent. And then Mahaprajapati repeatedly requested the Buddha to continue teaching all the bhikkhunis on the Vinaya rules even after her death. The Buddha replied that now I allow you to preach the Vinaya rules for the bhikkhunis. It should be preached as I laid down for them, and there should not be any change. Then she proceeded, paid obeisance at the feet of the Buddha, and said, now onwards I cannot see the face of the Tathagata. I cannot see the future Buddhas too, as I will enter into Nibbana without a remainder. I cannot conceive the future Buddhas, and it will be my last existence. Here also it should be noted, here she is telling, I cannot conceive the future Buddhas, as it will be my last existence. So here she is depicted as the biological mother of the Buddha. Saying so, she went round the Buddha 7 times and Venerable Ananda 7 times. Then she went round the Bhikkhu Sangha, returned to the Bhikkhuni Sangha and told the Bhikkhunis, now I want to enter into Nibbana without any remainder, because the Tathagata will surely enter into Mahaparinibbana soon. You should follow what is good, what you think good. So here, as the leader of the Bhikkhuni Sangha, she is not compelling her fellow Bhikkhunis to follow her path. Rather, she gives them a choice to do as they wish. At that time, Bhikkhuni Khema, Upalavanna, Sagotami, and Sakula, Shama, Patachara, Katyani, Jaya, these are the names given in the Ekuttaragama, and 500 bhikkhuni went to the Walnut One, went to the Buddha, stood at one side. Then led by Khema Bhikkhuni, they said, we heard that the Tathagata would surely enter into Mahaparinibbana soon. We cannot endure to see the Lord as well as Venerable Ananda entering into Nibbana before us. O Walnut One, we request you to allow us to enter into the Nibbana before you. Entering into the Nibbana will be the right thing for us to do. So it was the decision of the 500 bhikkhunis to enter into Nibbana with Mahaprajapati in the same time. And led by Khema Bhikkhuni, 500 bhikkhunis asked permission from the Buddha to enter into Nibbana. The Lord granted his permission, remaining silent as before. After getting the Buddha's approval, Bhikkhuni Khema, as well as the 500 bhikkhunis, proceeded and paid obeisance at his feet, went around him 3 times, stepped back and returned to their monastery. Then Mahaprajapati closed the gate of the monastery, locked it, spread a cushion outside the room, flew up into the sky and remained there. She said light moved and walked in the sky, emitted flame from her body, emitted smoke from the bottom of her body, released fire above the body and exuded water from the bottom of the body, etc., etc. A number of miracles she performed before all. And then they all returned to the monastery and Mahaprajapati showed many miracles using her supernatural powers. So after that she went through the different stages of meditation and finally entered into Nibbana. So this is very similar to the Pali recension also. So there also she is performing many miracles and then going through the different stages of meditation and then enters into Nibbana. And just like in the Pali Pali text here also in the Puttaragama also it is mentioned that at that time when she entered into the Nibbana, at that time the earth and the heaven moved terribly. The east rose up and the west sank down, the west rose up and the east sank down. All the four directions rose up and the center sank down. And cold wind blew in the four directions, all the gods played heavenly music from the sky. All the gods of the world of desire cried in grief and dropped tears that fell down like rain. The great gods made small pieces of wood having the smell of lotus flower and of sandalwood and sprayed over the mortal body of Mahaprajapati. Then Bhikkhuni Khema, Uppalavanna, Kisa Gautami, Sakula, Shama, Patachara, Katyayani, Enjaya, etc., 500 leading bhikkhunis, also perform the 18 supernatural powers and enter into Nibbana. Here in this Ekottaragama, we find a detail of the names of some, at least some of the names of the 500 bhikkhunis who joined Mahaprajapati in her final departure. But in the Pali sources, it is silent about that. At that time, there was a general in the castle of Vaisali, and his name was Yasa. The Buddha asked Venerable Ananda to go to Yasa and asked him to get ready quickly 500 beds, 500 cushions, 500 jars of ghee, 500 bottles of oil, 500 palanquins, 500 bundles of incense and 500 carts of firewood. When Ananda came to know that the Buddha wants all these things to perform the funeral rites of Mahaprajapati and other bhikkhunis and then to worship their relics, he could not have patience. He could not tolerate it. He became very sad and lamented remembering Mahaprajapati. So we find this narration, a similar narration in Pali text also. And so I'm going to skip some of the portion of the conversation between Yasa and Ananda, and then they arranged the materials for the cremation, etc. And Yasa also became very sad, and somehow so Buddha told him that Buddha told Ananda that Mahaprajapati already entered into Nibbana along with her 500 fellow bhikkhunis. So I want all this to perform the funeral rites and then to worship their relics. Hearing it, Venerable Ananda could not have patience and then he became very sad remembering about Mahaprajapati. But anyhow, he wiped his tears and quickly went to Yasa and conveyed the wish of the Buddha Hearing it, the general Yasa cried too in grief, remembering about Mahaprajapati, and lamented, why did Mahaprajapati enter into Nibbana so suddenly? And why did the 500 bhikkhunis too enter into the Nibbana so suddenly? Now who will preach us and who will guide us on how to offer a dana? So from this this one, two lines, we can well imagine that bhikkhunis, not only the bhikkhus, but the bhikkhunis also were playing an important role in preaching the lay devotees. And that is why Yasa is now lamenting that who will now guide them to how to offer a dana. That means it is not only a dana, but most probably the Vinaya rules on dana. It could be the Vinaya rules on dana. And then General Yasa got ready quickly 500 buyers to carry the dead bodies of the bhikkhunis, 500 cushions, 500 bottles of ghee, oil, and 500 carts of firewood, as well as various other things necessary for cremation, and went to the world honored one and reported him. The Buddha told him, now you take the bodies of Mahaprajapati and the 500 bhikkhunis, go out from Vaishali and arrive in a wide field. I want to perform the funeral rites and then to worship their relics there. Here it should be noted that the Buddha is telling that I want to perform the funeral rites. Now it seems that as if he was well aware of his duty of a son. And then there is a big narration, but I'm going to make it short because of the time limit. And in short, actually there were two novice nuns also in the monastery, and one was called Nanda and other one was called Upananda. So they were thinking that their teacher Mahaprajapati and the bhikkhunis, they are sleeping. But when they came to know that they are no more, so they also decided to enter into the Nibbana. And finally, to all the materials for this funeral is arranged for two persons more. And these two novice nuns, Samanevis, they are entering into the Nibbana without any khandhas remaining. Having any khandhas remaining, they are entering into the Nibbana. So even it means even as a Samanevi, as a novice nun also, one can attain this level of perfection. At that time, the world honored one led the bhikkhus and surrounded by them, went to the monastery of Mahaprajapati and said to Venerable Ananda, Nanda and Rahula, you take up the body of Mahaprajapati. I should perform the funeral and worship the relics myself. So this point should be noted also, that here Buddha is telling to Ananda, Nanda and Rahula. Rahula is the grandson of Mahaprajapati, Nanda her own son, and Ananda is the, it is the nephew. So all the family members. And Buddha himself is telling that I want to do that myself. And understanding what the world honored one was feeling in his heart, many gods, such as Indra from the heaven of 33 gods, the king of the Brahma world, Vaishravana with many yakshas, Dhritarashtra from the east direction with many Gandharvas, Virudhaka from the south direction with innumerable Kumbhandas, and Virupaksha with a number of Naga gods, the gods from the world of desire, world of form, and the formless world, and so on, came quickly in a very short time to Vaishali. Lord Indra and Vaishravana stepped forward and requested the Buddha to allow them to perform the funeral rites. But Venerable Shariputra said to the gods, "Stop, stop, O gods. Tathagata knows the right time to do a right thing." And the next is very important. Shariputra is telling to these gods that it should be performed. That means the funeral of Mahaprajapati, it should be performed by the Tathagata himself. It should not be performed by the gods, Nagas and Yakshas, because the parents give birth to the son, feed milk, carry in their arms and raise him for a long time. The son is indebted to the parents in many ways. Hence, he, the Lord, should repay the debt. O gods, you should know that the natural mothers of the past Buddhas died before them. After that, the past Buddhas themselves performed the funeral rites and worshipped the relics of their mothers. So, if the mothers of the future Buddhas also will die before them, the future Buddhas too will worship in person. You must know this rule. The Tathagata should perform the funeral rites and worship the relics in person, not the gods, Nagas or Yakshas. So it seems it's a tradition always kept by the past Buddhas before the Sakyamuni Buddha also, that they always perform the funeral rites and worship the relics of their mothers. And in future also, in the time of the future Buddhas also, it will be done like that. So now our Sakyamuni Buddha should also do in the same way, and he must follow this rule. That's what Shariputra is explaining to the gods. Having heard it, Lord Vaishravana ordered the 500 yakshas to bring sandalwood for the cremation. The 500 yakshas did accordingly. Then, this is very important, then the world honored one himself lifted up one leg of Mahaprajapati's bier, because a bier in India, it has four legs like a bed. So, Buddha himself is lifting up one leg of that bier, and Venerable Nanda, Venerable Rahula and Venerable Ananda, they lifted up the other three legs and flying in the sky arrived at the cremation ground. The cardinal group, that is bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, upasakas and upasikas, carried the dead bodies of the 500 bhikkhunis and arrived at the cremation ground. Then, by the order of the world honored one, the general Yasa worshipped and did the cremation of the 500 bhikkhunis. At that time, the world honored one took the locks of sandalwood and put it on the body of Mahaprajapati and said the following verse: "Everything is impermanent. That which is born must die. That which is not born does not die. This extinction, Nibbana, is the supreme joy." There were as many as 1 billion Nayuta gods and human beings gathered at the funeral ground. When the fire was extinguished, the general collected the relics and erected stupas. The Buddha said to the general, "Now, if you collect the relics of the 500 bhikkhunis and erect stupas for them too, then you will receive unlimited merits for a long time. Because there are four kinds of persons in the world for whom stupas should be erected. Who are those four? They are the Tathagata, the enlightened one, universal monarch, disciples of the Buddha, and the self-enlightened Buddhas." So here in the term disciples of the Buddha, the bhikkhus and bhikkhunis both are given equal status. And the Vina Kshidraka Vastu, it is also more or less the same story, same narration, the same story, but here King Vasenajita arranged everything for the cremation, and four bhikkhus, that is Venerable Nanda, Aniruddha, Ananda and Rahula, they lifted up the bier of Mahaprajapati, and the four in the world and at one, the Buddha supported the buyer with his right hand only. He only supported that with his right hand, and that is a gesture in religious performance in India even now, that even these days, that to touch something in your right hand little bit, that means you are performing. That is very symbolic for that. And the other bhikkhus, they lifted the buyers of the 500 bhikkhunis. So here we see the bhikkhus are performing the funeral, the cremation ceremony of the bhikkhunis. And before the cremation, the world renowned one removed the outer covering of Mahaprajapati and says, all of you look at this. Although Mahaprajapati was 120 years old, still she has no sign of old age and looks like a young girl of 16 years old. Although the Pali source tells us that she was 120 years old at the time of her death, it is not mentioned that she was looking young and free from old age. And in the Vinayak Shudrakavastu, it says that this incident of Mahaprajapati's life created a new Vinaya rule. After the cremation of Mahaprajapati, the Buddha declared, O bhikkhus, you should not say long life to you when you see somebody sneezing. If you say so, you will be guilty of a dukkata offense. So, I would like to, after giving these narratives from Chinese and Pali sources, what we can, what does this narratives, they convey us, they tell us, just to summarize, having my concluding opinions on them, that the Mahaprajapati's love for the Buddha is peerless, as we can say. The way she passed over her own son Nanda to a wet nurse, and she herself took care of baby Siddhartha, really just touches one's heart. If she had not offered her milk to him and raised him up, the course of Buddhism would have taken some other turn. Who knows? We don't know. So the world will remain indebted to her forever for bringing up Sakyamuni Buddha. And the most of the text, Pali and Chinese both, depict Mahaprajapati as the mother of the Buddha. Whenever it is about the mother of the Buddha, mostly it points Mahaprajapati, not Mahamaya or Maya. It shows that Mahaprajapati was revered and accepted more as the mother of the Buddha than Mahamaya by the text compilers, commentators and translators, Chinese, from the Chinese text as you know. So texts like the Buddha Jataka Sangraha Sutra or the Ekottaragama, that even go to the extent of saying Mahaprajapati is the natural mother of the Buddha. Her heart was full of love for the Lord, not in the last birth only, but in her previous life too, as the Shulla Dhamma Pala Jataka depicts. But we hardly find any such information about Mahamaya, that she was the natural mother of the Buddha in her previous life. So, I don't know if somebody of you know that, please let me know. I'm very happy to have some information on that. The depiction of the last moments of Mahaprajapati is based on the Buddhist doctrine of impermanence. But although Mahaprajapati was an arahant and free from all sorts of attachments and obviously understood well, as we have already seen in the text, it is already mentioned that she understood well that everything is impermanent, and still her motherly love for the Buddha forced her to enter into Nibbana before him. On the other hand, the Lord himself carries her bier and performs the funeral rites like a dutiful son. He has been portrayed here as more a human being, precisely a son, rather than a godly existence, the chief of the Buddha Sangha. The way Venerable Ananda and the lay disciples lamented at her departure touches one's heart, and her conversation with the Buddha and her disappointment in being unable to see the face of the Buddha again reveals a kind mother's heart inside her. We can find very frequently in almost all the texts that Mahaprajapati is honored simply as the mother of the Buddha, not as the nursing mother or the foster mother. In the Ekottaragama, the Buddha himself with Venerable Nanda, Rahula and Ananda carry the 4 legs of Mahaprajapati's bayan, that is a deep-rooted social custom in the countries of South Asia in general and India in particular, that the first privilege comes to the sons and grandsons to carry the bier and perform the funeral rites. As the Pali sources say, during the first visit of the Lord to Kapilavastu after his enlightenment, Venerable Nanda followed the Lord, followed the Buddha and became a bhikkhu. Hence, when Mahaprajapati prepared a new robe for the Buddha, as it is depicted in the Dakshina Bhubhanga Sutta, her son Nanda at that time was already accepted the robe and the begging bowl and was a bhikkhu with staying or residing with the other bhikkhus in the monastery, in the bhikkhu sangha. But she made only one set of robe for the Buddha, only for the Buddha. We lack information if she offered anything to her own son, Venerable Nanda. Few episodes of her funeral ceremony make it clear how much she was loved and respected by the Buddha and by the Bhikkhu Sangha and the lay people also. This brief account of Mahaprajapati's last life is not merely a biographical legend found frequently in Buddhist texts. Rather, it portrays the social belief and tradition, human love and affection in the light of the great truth of Buddhism that nothing remains permanent. In some places, somehow, it may sound illogical from Buddhist point of view, still, it cannot be denied that these narratives are full of humanity, motherly love, as well as son's duty towards his mother, no matter if she is his natural mother or one who nursed him. Thank you very much.
Recording is off. Thank you.